it's definitely a viable alternative even for a family. The gender is about 65% male and 35% female. So a lot of females are actually riding these scooters as well. And if you see on the graph that's got the circle on it, it says flyers by age. Many of the riders, over half, are over 30 years old. And the largest demographic is 41 to 55, which is kind of surprising that that demographic is so high. But that actually goes to support that this is a viable option for transportation. Many of the riders that they have in Memphis show that over 60% of them make less than a real living wage. And so they're using this as an alternative to climb the economic ladder to get to work. So if we look at just Forsyth, it wouldn't allow me to pull by county, but if we look at Forsyth, the average cost of transportation annually for individuals is $10,369 compared to the United States average, which is $9,700. So this is a way to chip away at some of those expenses. So what's our market potential in Taney County? Well, if we go by the fact that it says 14% are living in poverty, we know that number is actually skewed and it's much higher than 14%. But if we just take that number, it leaves us 8,200 potential individuals that could qualify for this program. And if we just take 8% of that, 4,400 we could put in scooters right away. What do scooters do? Well, you know, if we think about a rural transportation system and we think about the buses, like we use vans for a lot of our transportation to pick individuals up to bring them to our programs. But there's a reason people live in the rural part of the county is because they don't want to ride on a bus next to somebody, right? They like the autonomy of being able to go where they want to go, when they can go. They just oftentimes can't because they don't have the means of transportation. So scooters give them the freedom to be able to do that. So the program works like this, just give you a just high-level, simple, simple way it works. They fill out an application online. If they meet the qualifications of insurance, which we provide within their payment, we provide the liability insurance for them. So as long as they're safe with four wheels on the road, we will put them in a scooter. But if they're not safe on four wheels, we don't want to put them on two wheels for sure. So typically, if they can stay within about $300 annually on that liability insurance, they'll qualify for insurance. Then they would go to a scooter school. So we will actually teach and train them. Most of the entrants into this program have never ridden anything on two wheels, including bicycles. So they go through about a three-hour classroom setting and then about a three-hour on-the-scooter training. They pass the road test through the DMV. They pick up a scooter and they're ready to ride. Everything is included in that, so they get a brand new scooter. They get their insurance covered. They get a helmet, a jacket, gloves. They get all their preventative maintenance included, which includes oil changes, tune-ups, tires, brake pads, and then they get their license and tags included and all that. So we're really trying to make it a turnkey package for individuals, but it also allows us to continue foster relationships with them because we can send them notifications when their maintenance is required. We can do check-ins with them. Some of the requirements: they have to have a valid driver's license. They have to be at least 18 years old. They have to work at least part-time or be a full-time student. They have to have a relatively clean driving record, again, as long as they can stay under that threshold of about $300. And then they need to be employed by a current employer for at least 45 days. And for businesses, this is a great opportunity for businesses to use this as an incentive. So what we encourage businesses to do is paycheck deduction. So that way the employee is stickier, right? If they know that the payment is coming out of their paycheck, they're more likely to stay at their job, which will keep them employed longer. Just skip down. Startup costs. This is what we're looking at, our cost to bring this program to Taney and the Branson area is about $1.2 million. It's $600,000 for a building, $600,000 for 100 scooters and startup costs. But the beauty is that once this program is up and running, it cash flows. My City Rides is partnered with Southern Security Federal Credit Union, so individuals that will be making their payment are only charged 1% interest. So with that, us as a nonprofit, we get our money for the scooter within 72 hours, which then allows us to reinvest in additional scooters. So we don't have to continue to go and ask for money year after year after year, because the scooter program actually cash flows itself once the initial investment is made. Some of the questions that I've gotten are riders required to wear helmets? Yes, they are, even though Missouri has changed that law. While they're in the program, they are required to wear a helmet. One of the other questions is, how many riders can use a scooter? So the program only allows for the individual that is licensed to be and that is in the program to be the driver. And Missouri law states that the number of passengers you can have on a scooter are the number of seats and foot pegs that are on the scooter. So the person actually has to have their butt on the seat, and their feet have to be able to reach the foot pegs to be a legal passenger on a scooter. What kind of liability is in it for the organization? So we currently have D&O insurance of $1 million. We have general liability also of $1 million, which is ample coverage for the program. Do you anticipate the scooters being stolen? Possibly. The organization in Memphis has a high city crime rate, and they've only had about 20 of them stolen, and they have recovered all but one. Repossessions, they've had 12 that they've had to repossess out of 322. So the goal is, you know, we want to work with the person to provide them reliable transportation and make sure that they stay employed to be able to pay for it. There's some resources on the second to last page that so you can just go and look for more information about it. And then, interesting, I received an email at the end of the year, and this is typical of what we see many times. People that are making a wage but have no transportation, and they have to rely on Lyft or Uber, which is extremely expensive. And you know, the goal for this program is to keep people employed. So I ran through that really fast just to give you guys a high-level overview, and would love to answer any questions you might have. Love to just explore partnering with Taney County down the road for this program. The goal is to launch it in March of 2023. We have to order our initial scooters by about September 1st with the supply chain. It takes a while to get them here, so we're pursuing avenues now, looking for funding. So with that, I'll open it up for questions.
So when was the presentation done at Elevate Branson? Was that a month or so ago?
Yeah, it was about a month ago. I think it was 1st of February, maybe.
Okay, and I don't remember if I was there. I don't remember if you guys were there or not. Anyways, that was when it was presented. And I think the general discussion afterwards and since then has been, it's not the solution, but it's a piece of the puzzle that may help come up with part of the solution.
Yep.
Something else that I thought was interesting is there was two models, and you guys actually demoed the models here to make sure Forsyth, Taneyville, those areas could get to work.
Yep.
The hills don't bother them. What speeds do they go?
Yeah, so we have two of them. One is really for Branson proper. It's a 49cc. It's a rental for like our foreign workers, our J1s that they could use. And it'll top out about 30, 35. But the local model is the 169cc, and it's 60 to 65. I did, when they came up here in early January, which is probably not the best time weather-wise to demo these, but we met with Sheriff Daniels, we met with Branson PD, got their buy-in on the scooters to make sure that they were safe on the road, that they felt comfortable with it, and they did. And so, you know, you think about somebody in Pro Tem who, you know, wants to work in Branson or in the tourist area, how do they get there, and is it cost-effective? When pre-COVID, we had some roundtables at our place, and the lady from Pro Tem actually said, it's just not cost effective for me to work at Walmart if I only get a 4-hour shift by the time I pay maintenance and gas to drive over there. And so this would be a viable solution for something like that. So that's a long-winded answer to your question.
But it handled the roads.
It handled the hills and the roads is fine. Yeah.
And you had asked me afterwards how the county could help or what we could do, and I think you asked specifically about ARPA funds.
Correct.
And my statement to you was at that time, not the full amount by any means.
Right.
Me as one commissioner, I'm for looking into how we could, but I also wanted to see some community buy-in.
Yep.
Meaning the different private businesses to where they would, hey, yeah, this is something we think is viable, something we would be willing to deduct from paychecks and those types of things.
Yep.
Since then, I think you asked what the process was. I said, you just need to get with our office and get in front of the other, all three of us.
Right.
And so that's how we came to this point now. So I'm assuming two other, or at least one other commissioner said yes, and that's how we're here. So just for full transparency, that's kind of how this happened.
And if you didn't know, we're in the process of putting in a tiny house community where we're at. And so one of the things that we do with that is we're really asking the local community to support that through tiny house sponsorships, and those can be individuals, organizations, and churches. So with this as a transportation, we're really looking at grants, foundations, and businesses to try to support the funds of this. And so we have a foundation that is willing to bring to the table some funds. Don't know how much yet, but they don't want to be the first one in. And so really what we're trying to do is just get three or four funders to just split some of this cost so that we can all come together and provide something. And I think what encourages me about it is that not only will it sustain itself, but it allows it to grow. So if you look at that budget, we're adding another 100 scooters annually to that. So I think the biggest challenge for us will be to ramp it up slowly, so that it doesn't get ahead of us because the need is so great.
Now, you won't automatically just order 100 scooters if there's no need for it.
Correct, okay. Yeah. We're going to, at the end of this month, begin taking preliminary applications.
Okay.
But on the J1 rentals, I've already had multiple businesses contact us.
And the majority of the J1s, they stay there in
They stay closer into Branson. One of the challenges has been workforce housing. And so scooters would allow those J1s to live further outside of Branson proper, and they could live in the county, like in Kirbyville, even down Indian Point Road, because then they'd have means of transportation. Prior to COVID in 2019, we had 900 J1s that came, which are now called Bridge USA, but they were actually looking at pulling out of Branson area because of we'd had some individuals that had been struck by cars walking on the sides of the road with no shoulders, and we'd had some on bicycles that had been hit by cars. And so they're excited about this option because with the scooters, they're actually in the flow of traffic. Right, I mean, they're on the road with traffic, and so it provides a much safer opportunity for them to get to their job, which again allows them to live further outside.
Now, something you just mentioned, Indian Point. How would you, if Taney County was a partner in Stone County, that's Stone County.
Uh-huh.
So would we differentiate who was able to utilize any of the scooters? Would it be open to anybody within Stone and Taney, or how does that?
We're trying to make it open for Stone and Taney County.
So you need to talk to Stone County?
Yep. Yep.
Were any of them at that? I can't remember.
I don't know. I can't remember. And I don't know that we'll have many from Stone County that would take advantage of the program. I mean,
that's just something we need to think about as far as if you're starting to use some of the county ARPA funds, if that were to happen.
Absolutely.
We would need to...
Well, and really, we probably... The ARPA funds wouldn't go towards the J1s. We would keep those for the locals. The business will pay for the J1 scooters.
aren't the J1s here just working for limited?